Okay, so we are resuming now after a little chofesh of Shvuayim. It's good to be back. So in the parsha that we read on Shabbat, the Torah tells us that when the brothers finally came down to Mitzrayim because of the Ra'av, Vayar Yosef et Echav Ayakirem, so Yosef recognized his brothers, Vayitnaker Alehem. Vayitnaker means he made himself like an Ochri. He deliberately tried to conceal his identity, Vaydaveritam Kashot, right? Even though you would expect as a brother, he would have been more gentle with them, even if he wasn't prepared to reveal his identity. But Lehefech, he was very difficult with them. Vayomer Lehem Me'ayin Batem, where have you come from? Vayomru, well, he knew the answer, right? Vayomru Me'eretz Kinam Lishbor Ochal. So we're here to purchase food. And the Torah then strangely repeats itself. Vayaker Yosef Etecha Vehem Lo Hikiru. But we knew that already, that Yosef recognizes the brothers and they don't recognize him. So we have to understand that. Vayizkor Yosef et ha-chalomot asher chalam lahem. And Yosef, who had forgotten all about those dreams at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, first, number one and number two, now we're told, Vayizkor Yosef et ha-chalomot asher chalam lahem. Vayomer alehem miraglim atem. So Rashi says, "Vayizkor Yosef et ha-chalomot." So Rashi says something that the Ramban could not agree with, and he assumes that what this means, that when Yosef remembered the dreams, this is Rashi's interpretation, that the dreams somehow had been fulfilled. Just a quote: "V'yada shenit kaimu sherei ishtachavu lo lashon Rashi." So Rashi's interpretation is that Yosef remembered the dreams because now the brothers bowed down to him. And so he realized, oh, my dreams came true. So the Ramban says, no, just the opposite. In fact, they didn't come true because the dreams were that all the brothers would bow down to Yosef. And who's missing still at this stage?
Binyamin.
Okay, number one. Number two is the second dream says that Yaakov has to come down. So the Ramban's whole theory as to what's going on here, how Yosef comes up with this alilah to get them to bring down Binyamin, and then after they bring down Binyamin, he figures out a way to get Yaakov to come down because he reveals himself. He says the reason he did it in these multiple stages was that first, dream number one will be fulfilled, that the brothers will bow down, and then dream number two will be fulfilled because Yaakov will come down. This is what the Ramban says. Now, what I'm most interested in is the Ramban's rationale, his svara, which you saw already in the title of my shir. So as the Ramban says, if it wasn't for the fact that Yosef was busy fulfilling his dreams, he would have been guilty of a very serious chet. I'll read from the Ramban. Bilulechen haya Yosef chote chet gadol letzaeret aviv ulhamido yamim rabim bishchol ve'evel al shimon ve'alav. Because if it wasn't for the fact that Yosef was engaged in some very important mission, namely to fulfill his dreams, then Yosef is guilty of a terrible chait, because after all, who's suffering this whole time? His father. Remember, Yosef comes to power, he's 30. Now he's already 39. It's 9 years. So I put in the title this year. How is Yosef justified in doing this? So the Ramban says that the justification is that he was trying to fulfill his dreams. Okay? I'm going to skip a few lines and then continue on in the Ramban. Chiyesh litmoa, achar shamad Yosef in Mitzrayim yamim rabim. And first of all, haya pakid v'nagid bebeit sar gadol b'mitzrayim. First of all, when he was the chief of staff to Potiphar, if you're the chief of staff to a cabinet minister, you probably can send a message, send a letter if you want. Say, Dad, by the way, I'm alive. Ki Mitzrayim karov l'chevron kishisha yamim. It's a very short journey. I love this line. V'ilu hayam halech shana. And even if it took a year to walk there, haya ra'oi lo diol l'chvod aviv. So what's going on? So Ramban thinks that Yosef was justified in all of this behavior because he had to fulfill the dreams. I find this Ramban very difficult for two reasons. First of all, the Torah says, Vayizkor Yosef et ha-chalomot. It says only now he remembered the dreams. So, okay, he's free to disagree with Rashi to say, okay, the dreams were fulfilled, they weren't fulfilled, but it says that only now he thought of the dreams. The Ramban's whole defense of Yosef's behavior is the whole time he was thinking, I have to figure out a way for the dreams to come true. Vayizkor Yosef et hachalomot, achshav uzachar. Problem number one. Number two is, even if I'm looking past that, and I'm willing to say, okay, so Yosef the whole time was thinking to himself, how am I going to get the dreams to be fulfilled? So let me ask you a question. What's more important? Ma yoter chashuv? Kibud aveim or to fulfill your dreams? It's not even a question. Eich itachen. So I happen to very much agree with what the Ramban said, that this would be a chet gadol, that this would be a terrible thing for Yosef to have done, you know, unless there's some very good reason. And so I want to spend the next 15 minutes or so suggesting, is an admittedly radical idea, but it's a radical idea that I believe. I don't believe it because it's radical. There are some people who like to believe things because they're radical, and they seek out controversy. I think I'm the opposite. I prefer not to believe radical things. This is the only valid explanation I can think of. Anybody want to make a suggestion? Why did Yosef, who easily could have told his father when he was in the house of Potiphar, surely when he's the most powerful person in the world, right? When the Egyptians go to Paro for food during the Shnot Ra'av, what does he tell them? L'chu al Yosef. What are you coming to me for? So how could it be? You know, he's the most powerful person in the world, and his father is suffering. You know, it's interesting. It's doubly a question for the Ramban, because the whole first half of the Parsha, the Ramban emphasizes, not once, not twice, three times, what a loyal son Yosef is. That when his father is sending him to Shechem, which is a bad neighborhood altogether, remember, they barely got out of there. They got out of there by a miracle, because it says the Chitat Alukim, that God put fear into the surrounding nations after Shimon and Levi wiped out the city. So Yosef says, Hineni. And, you know, he's willing to go to a terrible neighborhood and to go check on his brothers, who Yosef and everybody else knows really hates him. And the Ramban's point of emphasis is because Yosef is such a good son. So lichvod aviv, he'd be willing to do anything. So for the Ramban, it's doubly a question, because the Ramban is the one, more than anybody else, who emphasizes Yosef as the paradigm of kibudav. It's triply the Ramban l'shitas. Now I got myself going here, because the Ramban interprets what the term ben zekunim at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, what does it mean? Av Yisrael havet Yosef mikol achav ki ben zekunim hulo. So the Ramban has a beautiful interpretation, where he says that it was a common practice for people to take one son and to not let them go out into the fields, but sort of to keep them behind. So he says that Yosef spent so much more time with Yaakov than anybody else. They had an incredibly deep relationship, and so he would have been willing to do anything for his father. Ben Zikunim is sort of the aide-de-camp. Anybody want to make a suggestion? How is it possible? The Ramban admits it would be a chet gadol if he didn't have a good excuse. It's just that the Ramban's excuse for me isn't a very good excuse. Yosef at Tzadik.
Maybe we think he was very powerful, but he couldn't just leave and go.
Michtav.
There was no communication like today. You pick a phone.
Doar. Doar. Rishut Doar. Ani yodei shekasha lismoch aleihem. But bechol of them. B'mitzrayim ze haya kamo FedEx.
I have no explanation.
This is puzzling.
Anything to do with his brothers? Anything?
Let's say he hated his brothers.
No, the ramifications to his brothers, if Yaakov got...
He can make up a story. I got lost. Tried to get to Shechem, I ended up in Egypt. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. Trying to get on the one, I got on the A.
Are you saying he's defending his brothers?
I'm saying the ramifications to his brother.
I ended up at Atlantic Avenue. I switched, you know.
I still think he has such a big job there that he couldn't just go.
Michtav. Michtav. Michtav echad. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Let's take a moment to return to the conquering hero. It's a michtav. Yesh lo avadim.
So what's the question? Why he didn't seek out his father and tell him he was alive? Is that
his father is crying
right,
and
right,
suffering.
Right? Right.
Don't worry, I'm opening
it. Eze michtav echad katan katzar.
They said that his father knew about
Kimo is a tichonist Abba v'ima ani chai.
I mean, because he's done Sukkuni, is what you're saying. That's why he's saying, why wouldn't he?
I happen to agree with Ramban. I think that he should have walked a year if that's what it took to do it.
Say that again.
Could be also that Yaakov knew that Yosef is alive, right?
Tarof Taraf Yosef. Ki eredel b'ni avel sh'ola. Lo mashma.
Maybe like in the soap opera, he suffered amnesia, but he didn't know who he was.
Ooh. If I knew more about the soap operas, I'd be better able to evaluate that possibility.
Yeah, it's not, you know.
Okay, so like I said, I don't generally like, radical ideas for their own sake. I'm not very conspiratorial by nature. But I think that the only reasonable answer to this question, and I'll bring five or six proofs, the idea then you can decide on your own whether you accept it, is that Yosef believed that his father was complicit in his sale and wasn't interested in hearing from him.
Could you say it again?
Yeah, I was saying that.
What
is that word? Complicit. What is complicit?
It means that
Shaviv Ayashim, Shaviv
Ratzah. Brothers to do this.
Okay. We can all agree it's a radical idea. Now it's up to me to prove it. So what do I have? Okay, I think there's six proofs. Number one, it's very interesting. Yosef, his whole life, is coddled by his father. The Ketonet Pasim. He's given special attention. Yosef knows it. Yaakov knows it. The brothers know it, right? There's no denying it. Yosef is the favorite. Right before his father sends him on what seems like a very dangerous, almost suicidal mission to Shechem and to the brothers, we have an amazing interaction between Yaakov and Yosef. The Torah says, Vayig'ar bo aviv. Havo navo anivi mecha ve'achacha. That his father yelled at him. The language of Unklus is very strong. It's the language of Nizifa. That Yosef, who this whole time is being coddled and propped up by his father, and clearly designated as a special one, all of a sudden his father comes down on him like a ton of bricks. That's the conversation that happens right before. And Yaakov says to Yosef, Halo achecha roim bishchem. So that as Yosef is going, he has in his mind, his father is irate with him. When you think back, in all the preceding generations, what happened? Yishmael and Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav. What always happens? One is chosen, and the other one is?
Rejected.
Sent away. Okay.
Is that the Ramban's opinion?
Oh, no. The Ramban said it was because Yosef wanted the dreams to be fulfilled. I'm going in a different direction. Okay, so we have another piece of evidence. Number three.
It doesn't say much for Yosef if he's going to like
that. Let's hear the evidence. Let's not pass judgment on Yosef yet. Okay. What's interesting? What does Yosef name his oldest son? Names matter. Menashet. Nashani Elokim et kol amali ve'et kol beit avi. God has allowed me to forget all of my suffering and everything about my father's house. Why? I understand his brothers. Kol beit avi. Why does he want to forget? Unless he thought maybe his father had turned on him. After you heard, sees Yosef is a problem. Something to think about.
Yet it says,
when did Yosef break down? When did Yosef break down?
When he saw
No. He saw Binyamin, he was okay. He went privately, he cried, he held it together. When does it say, V'lo yachol Yosef l'itapek l'chol anitzavim alav? What happened? What new piece of information was introduced? Only one. Yehuda tells Yosef that his father has been suffering this whole time. What are Yosef's first words? Ani Yosef? Ha'od? What does that question even mean? Of course he knows his father's alive. The whole basis of their conversation, they've been speaking about it 100 times, is we have an old father. He's alive. We're here to get food for him. Ma pirusho davicha? Doesn't mean is my father still alive. Not in the classical sense. He knows his father's alive. That's the whole point. That's what they're doing there. But I think it's clear what it means is that Yosef understood that for 22 years, he had a terrible misconception. That his father sent him away, sent him to the brothers, to Shechem, so that he would be thrown in a pit and be carried away, just like Ishmael had been sent away. Just like in a different sense, Esav had been rejected as well. Va'yig'ar bo aviv, ki nashani elokim et kol amaliv et kol beit avi. And as soon as he hears that his father's been suffering this whole time, what are the first words? Maharu va'alu el avi. Don't waste another minute. I missed all these years. I was so mistaken about my father. My father never turned on me. My father has been destroyed because of my absence. It's an amazing thing. So I agree with the Ramban that it would be a chet gadol, it would be a terrible sin for Yosef not to be in touch with his father. Unless he had some very good reason. Now the Ramban's reason for me doesn't pass muster, not in the psukim and not in theory. I don't think that getting your dreams fulfilled is not a good reason to make your father suffer. I think the only explanation is that Yosef was sure that his father didn't want him around. It was his father who sent him away after yelling at him terribly, Vayigar bo aviv, and sending him to a terrible neighborhood, to people that his father knew full well hated Yosef, and what happened happened. And lo and behold, Yosef never tries to get in touch. On the contrary, he says, I'm glad God allowed me to forget all the pain of my past. That's what he names his son. I was at a bris this morning at our shul. When you name somebody, it's like one of the most significant things. And he said, the first opportunity he had to express himself, what was really on his mind, he says, oh, you know, thank God, I've suffered a lot, but at least now I've forgotten what it was that went on. But when then it all comes crashing down, the brothers tell him, and Yehuda in particular tells him, that the reason that Binyamin is so critical is because of what happened to the mother and what happened to Yosef. V'karau ason, and if something happens to Binyamin, then the father's going to die. V'nafsho k'shura v'nafsho. Because of all the suffering that the father had, is Yosef breaks down. And he says, Oda v'chai, maharu v'alu alavi, he doesn't waste a minute. He waited 22 years, now all of a sudden he can't waste. He can't wait a minute? What changed? Only one thing. His understanding of what it was his father's role during this entire period of time. Yes?
I know there's no punctuation in Torah. So when you said, Aod Avichai, it might have been an exclamation rather than a...
Well, it can't... We all agree that it can't mean, is my father alive in the physical sense? Because the whole basis is... So the question is, what does it really mean? So I'm suggesting what it means is, after all of this suffering, how is it possible that my father is still alive? He lost Rachel, right? He lost Rachel, right? He thought that I was dead, you know. He's, you know, and this was not what he wanted. So I think that's, you know, that's pretty clear. Yes. The brothers went there with the sheep. Not really, because the brothers are in Shechem. And Yosef gets there. And Shechem, you have to remember, Shechem is on the international trade route. Okay? From Damascus down to Egypt. it's exactly at that point where the caravans go. So Yosef is left, you know, it all happens very quickly, but he's left trying to piece this together. Because my father sends me from Hebron to the brothers in Shechem. As soon as I get there, before I even say anything to them, they rip off the Ketonet Pasim and they throw me in a pit. Very strange. They could have killed him. They could have killed him right then and there. They didn't. And then all of a sudden, before he knows it, he's pulled out of the pit by a group of Midianim who sell him to Yishmaelim. It's like perfectly coordinated. We're talking about just matters of... But that's precisely the point. The brothers go there, and Yosef thinks it's a setup. They're there. He thinks that it has to been coordinated between. Right, they went. He goes, and before he knows it, ends up in a pit. And yeah, of course.
Yosef thinks that the brothers coordinated.
Yes, that's the whole premise.
It's not as dangerous for all those brothers as it is for Yosef. I mean, it's all
they're
those
all together.
Big, you know, dangerous.
He gets
men
there
together,
before he knows it. He's in a pit. They walk away. He never sees them again.
And he never felt
any
coordination.
The last scene is Yosef standing with the brothers and the father. Yosef tells the father, "I had a great dream. The sun, the moon, the stars are bowing down to me. The 11 stars, meaning my brothers. And you and mom." And the father goes crazy in front of the brothers. So what does Yosef imagine? That they've decided that they have to get rid of him. Just like Ishmael had to, you know, be sent away.
It's
just like Yaakov is chosen over Esau. So it's happening again.
It's interesting to check what Rashi said about why he sent him there.
Rashi thinks that it's an attempt to get them back together, which I have no doubt that it was from Yaakov's point of view. But you could forgive Yosef for thinking, oh, he was wrong, it was a mistake.
You know, you see it even today, like in a family, when a kid said, "Mommy don't love me anymore," or stuff like this.
He was 17
even
years old, probably yeah. Some degree of immaturity involved in him coming to that conclusion. But you just have to put yourself in his position. His father, who's persistently coddled him, all of a sudden turns on him and yells at him in a very extreme way. And then you have the family history. And it doesn't seem... If you want to get the brothers and Yosef together, how about calling a family meeting? Let's all go to a restaurant together. He sends him to the most dangerous part of Israel for Yosef to be in by himself. In Shechem, where the family barely escaped alive last time they were there. Yeah, okay, there you go. There you go. So, I think if you're Yosef, it's very difficult to understand why your father would do that. There are
so what could Yosef have done? Yosef could have tried to not only find out, but he could have asked his forgiveness. He could have done so many other things.
Could have asked who?
Yaakov.
He doesn't think his father wants to hear from him. That's the whole premise.
Right.
So how's he going to have that conversation?
I can't believe that would be the
So then how do you explain
your reaction if you've had this relationship?
I don't know. Well, he said that. All I can tell you is what he says. Nashani Elokim v'kol Amali v'kol Beit Avi.
Yeah, a 17-year-old boy, yeah, though, would react that way.
17-year-old hot-headed boy.
So then why does he
say
Nashani Elokim v'kol Amali v'kol Beit Avi? Why is he naming his son? Ah, God allowed me to forget my father. Why isn't he in touch with him? So you either have to accept the Rabban's proposition. What does that mean?
Exactly. And I mean, I just think the way my kids talk about people.
He's missing an understanding of the way relationships
are going. So, but he's allowing his father to suffer terribly. We all agree to that.
And they start with it. Yeah,
You need a reason for that. You can't just say, oh, he's gratuitously allowing his father to suffer unless you believe that he was either really angry at his father, which is what I'm suggesting, or that his father didn't want to hear from him, which is what I'm suggesting. Yeah, the Ramban has a whole, you know, very complex theory.
Also, at that age, like
that age.
If you've been coddled your whole life, then your father turns on you and inexplicably sends you a dangerous neighborhood. I don't know what else he would conclude.
First, you'd be angry, and then you'd be too proud to go back.
And too hurt.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Why would he just break down? Right when he hears one new thing, that my father's been suffering this whole time. And his first words are, Ha'od avi chai, and then Maru valu el avi. What changed? What's that? What's that light? You're talking about somebody who spent the first.
Do we have to assume maybe this is not right? Say, it's so Freudian. It's everyone assumes that
people's
nature.
No, I'm suggesting that he made a catastrophic error. That by assuming his father was involved. What is that error? That's what I want. That's what I'm struggling to understand.
A lack of understanding.
You think he just sort of was
involved in the? I mean, his life changed. He went from being in prison to being.
He didn't forget. But Carol, if that were true, then how do you make sense of what he calls Menashe? He says about Menashe, God has allowed me to forget my suffering in my father's house. It doesn't sound like, oh, he just, you know, got caught up in things. It's like very deliberate.
The suffering in my father's house, that the reason I'm here, and not living with my father now.
Meaning what? What's
the suffering that occurred? There's no doubt that Yosef had a lot of suffering.
But he's saying he's allowed me to forget the suffering and the house of my father.
What's the exact words?
Nashani Elokim et kol amali ve'et kol beit avi. Right. My father's house. And especially his father.
Yeah,
Beit Avi doesn't include my father.
The word Lenashot, it means like he's not belong there anymore.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate the insight that you just have, because I have wondered about the same thing, and I always, in biblical interpretation, I always try to put myself into the mindset of the characters that are being involved in what they were doing. And so this definitely gives a whole different way of looking at it. But so he's able to explain. So my father really is alive in the sense that maybe he's referring back to the way he was when I used to know him. But just a grammatical question or an interpretation question that you might know. Is there not in Hebrew in some place a use of the word chai to mean pain? And I have some vague atavistic recall of something like a raw wound is referred to as
chai can mean raw, uncooked, you know, but not pain.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so again, this is the only way I can make sense of it. I think there's a massive body of evidence which I tried to share. Otherwise, I think you have to resort to like what the Ramban says. That Yosef somehow thought that the dreams, you know, justified him treating his father this way. I think what Carol is trying to say, if I understand it, is that he just kind of got caught up in other things. I find that very implausible, given how close he was with his father. And I don't think you usually go from having a profound attachment to somebody to just, I guess I'm busy here. I think it usually... Nobody's challenged. Nobody's. Again, I'm not really sure. I follow exactly what this suggestion is, but you need some explanation. That's where I think everybody can agree. You need some explanation as to how Yosef is allowing his father to suffer so terribly. The Ramban thinks the dreams justify it. I don't. I think that he thinks his father sent him away, and then when he learns that his father never sent him away, he changes immediately. Carol's suggesting something else. Ask Carol exactly what whatever that means. I don't know. I don't think that. Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that you're capitalizing on the 17-year-old boy moment in his life.
Right.
And we see how the boys can change on a dime. You're my favorite teacher, and then suddenly something happens. They can't take a long-term view of really anything. And they're so quick to judge. And that 17-year-old Yosef, because of circumstantial evidence, he just throws up his hands and he has this eternal wound. You know, I could see that.
So can I. Yeah. Yeah, there's an idea that the brothers had made a note, nobody's allowed to say anything, but that included Yitzchak, not Yosef. No, that Yitzchak somehow was bound by that. Yeah. So again, I think the critical pieces are the naming of his son, which is very, very clear that, you know, he wants to forget about his father and everything that happened, especially his sale. His breaking down when he learns that his father has been missing him this whole time, and his immediate response, which is Maharu Valu Alavi, then calling for an immediate reunification. I have no other way of explaining any of that. For the Ramban, the dreams do. I don't see why Yosef would have privileged the dreams, and also the Torah doesn't say that Yosef was thinking the whole time about the dreams. It says Vayizkorda Chalomot, that he all of a sudden remembered them, but he was trying to forget all of that, all of his previous life. So this I think can help us understand a lot about the second half of Sefer Bereishis. Like I said, I think it's a rather radical idea, because you have to be willing to believe that Yosef thought Yaakov capable of such a thing, but seems to me that he did. He did think his father capable of it, and he realized what a grave error that had been. Terrible error. But one that cost him 22 years with his father, many, many years of his father's suffering were, in that sense, avoidable.
Tragic life.
Yes, very tragic thing.
Think of him as such a success, you know, he becomes white.